Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Dr. Drupinski is an addiction medicine specialist.
Dr. Drupinski, host of Loveline.
Drupinski.
Dr. Drupinski is Dr. Drew.
Loveline.
Now. This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline. With Dr. Drew.
This is Loveline. The phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Guesting with us tonight, Davey Havoc, Jade Puget, most famous from having been from Ukiah, California.
That is what we are most famous for.
And they also have this little band called AFI. True. There's also that.
It's true.
And Davey's also known for having been here just 2 nights ago, so welcome back.
Yes, thank you. It's great. I don't know. It seemed like yesterday.
And I'm sorry I didn't get to Anderson has not forgiven me for not making it to your recording on Saturday afternoon.
We've forgiven you. I just don't know if the record is going to be the same. You know, did you know that Drew was going to come sing?
Oh, man. That would have been a hit.
Drew is a trained opera singer.
Yeah,
he busted out with some stuff last time we were on the air, and I was like, whoa, do you want to come sing on a record?
You're going to sing on a record. I went, I would love. That would be really fun.
Oh, man.
I know,
next record.
We'll write an opera song specifically for it.
All right, I'm in.
That's a good part, yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
So the phone number again, 1-800-LOVE-191. Are you guys still actively in the studio? Is that all you did all weekend?
I just got a text from Hunter that he finished the last harmonies this evening.
Nice.
Well, I think we're done officially as of about an hour ago.
Yeah, pretty exciting,
right now,
right?
Yeah.
That'll be out in the fall?
Should be.
Yeah.
Should
a long
be.
Time in the making.
Yeah, Jade finished the last guitar solo last night.
Will that be your 8th album?
Yes.
Yeah.
8th album, that's crazy.
It's a lot of albums.
It is. And UK for tours. Any tours coming up before then in this country?
We're playing one show in Canada.
Yeah, in Toronto.
But, yeah, nothing in this country until the album comes out, I don't believe.
That blows.
For AFI. I think Jade and I are going to record a Black Audio song. Yeah. Are we, by the way?
Yeah.
Are we going to do it this week or are we going to do it next week?
Soon.
We're soon.
But no one's invited.
I love the way these guys work, too, Anderson. It's just like, yeah, you want to do Black Audio song?
It's like how we work around here. We talk about it on air as it develops. But things that should be off air.
Extraordinary. Let's go play the Rose Bowl. Okay, yeah, we'll play.
That'd be nice.
AFI albums were there out before you started getting a lot of radio play? Because I remember when that all went down years ago, and your fans were livid.
That was it. Oh, there. Yes.
It was when they sold out, you mean?
They're like, how dare you become successful? I'm never listening to you again, but I'm sure they
You know, it wasn't that bad for us.
Yeah, I mean, it was not that bad for you guys.
It really, like...
I've seen a lot of bands go through that whole experience.
They were...
And you guys retained your cred.
I mean, it was actually relatively fine. I guess they were all complaining to you.
No, I mean, I heard a lot of backlash on the radio, and people were calling it in. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't say it to our faces, though, boy.
Well, no, they were pissed that their love was being taken away from them.
Which that was
bizarre.
It is strange.
Yeah. It's young, is what it is.
It is.
Once you get older, you realize how ridiculous that is.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was like 2003, but we didn't get any radio airplay. I mean, Live 105 actually in San Francisco played, Aaron Axelson there played a song off of off of our first album in 1995. I remember, I've told this story before, but I had this little AM/FM radio, and the cassette was broken in the car in my Honda, in my 83 Honda, and the only speaker that worked was on the left, and in order to keep it on FM, you remember this, Jade, was I had to shove a toothpick into the little button or else it would pop out and be on AM. So,
we've all had that car.
You know how that goes.
That car was called the Red Poo.
Yeah, it was called the Red Poo, covered in stickers. I'd drive around, and all that I would get was Live 105, so I'd listen to it. And I remember being with my friend Tiger Lily, who was a punk rock girl who did a zine back then, and we'd listen, and we would be always like, oh, this sucks. And it was so fuzzy because whatever would come on, we didn't like for the most part. But you could barely tell what it was because it sounded so bad through the speakers. And then something came on, and it was like these faster kind of bar chords, kind of snotty sounding. I'm like, gosh, whatever this is, this doesn't sound that bad. And she's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, it's my band. That's crazy.
Well, you had no idea they were going to play it.
I had no idea that it was us, first of all, until I actually paid attention and that they were going to play it. And Aaron played it a couple times, put it into medium rotation, and then they pulled it out because, you know, it's not, radio isn't like it was when it started, where they just play what they want.
Right. Oh, yeah, I know that.
As we all know.
Yeah.
But after that, there was no radio airplay for AFI until 2003, right, Jay?
Yeah. And what finally got it going?
DreamWorks.
Yeah. We were on like an actual label that had some kind of pull at
radio.
Some
horsepower.
Got it. We had been on an indie label up until then, so it wasn't until we released our 7th record.
That is Davey Havoc and Jade Puget. Let's go ahead and take some calls here at 1-800-LOVE-191. This is April. What's going on, April?
Hey, nothing. I'm just wondering. I've had a question for a long time.
Here we go.
My boyfriend's penis is pretty long. It's about 8 inches. But he ejaculates inside of me. And what I've noticed is when I come, my juices are clear. But if I go inside, like, my fingers will get white. And so I'm just wondering how to get his juices out of me when we're done.
Why, Drew?
Davey, please.
Why are you having sex where he ejaculates inside of you?
Why not?
Do you want to have a baby?
No, I'm on birth control.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Thereby, the next follow-up question would be, why would you want to take the fluids out from where they belong?
Well, just because after the fact, even like weeks after, it's still kind of like remnants in there.
No, there aren't.
Do they go weeks without having sex to know that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, your vagina is designed to absorb and take all that. That's what most of it flows out anyway when you stand back up.
Right.
Okay, and whatever remains behind is supposed to remain behind.
Drew, could that be something else more nefarious?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Well, it could be a yeast infection. It could be other discharge. It doesn't have to be semen. But the fact that you're 25, April.
Dude.
Dude, what? Just think about the human, just the function of the human reproductive systems. You think that God would set it up, or nature, or the great magnet would set things up in such a way that you'd have to fish out the fluids that belong there?
Well, no.
Okay.
So then, aside from that, could it be just like build up or...
No, it doesn't build up.
From lubricant?
Yeah, sure. Lubricant, discharge, lots of other things that could be... inside you, as it were, but these things are normative. Essentially, it's all good. It's all that stuff is okay.
Just douche.
Yeah, I didn't want
to.
But in reality, douching is a less healthy thing than just leaving things alone.
Okay.
It's like your ear.
It's like your ear. Self-cleaning vagina. Nothing in the vagina bigger than smaller than your elbow.
Vagina are a lot alike.
They are indeed. Let's stay with some easy questions for Dave and Jade.
Thank you.
What's going on there, Carly?
Oh, hi guys. Sorry. Okay, well, first of all, I just want to tell Davey and Jade that I love you guys so much. And I wanted to thank you guys for everything you've done for me in the past 3 years. Like, you turned me on to the straight-edge lifestyle. I've become a vegetarian. And
awesome.
I wouldn't be who I am today without you guys, so I really, really appreciate that.
That's great. Thank you very much.
I have two questions. My first question is, you know how, like, on the past couple albums you've had, like, an opening song, like, Miss Sierra Cantare and... like Prelude 1221, will there be something like that on Crash Love?
This album has a name already?
It is called Crash Love.
Wow.
It's true.
That will be, you know, don't you want it to be a surprise the first time you open the record and put it on, or the first time you...
Well, I guess I'd rather be surprised more than anything.
There you go.
You'll be surprised.
Save the surprise.
And then
saved everybody.
I had a second question. How did you guys come up with the Begin Transmission contest idea? Because it was just fantastic.
I agree. That was a pretty fun contest.
Because I actually put in a video for it, and I loved making the video. It was awesome.
It was really interesting to watch. I mean, we came up with the idea because...
Just like on the spot, or like...
Well, I mean, we were talking about how interesting it would be to... have a circumstance where we could actually look in and see what our fans are like and what they're into. As we said in the intro, you know, it's interesting for us. I mean, most of the time, it's the opposite circumstance where, you know, the fans look at the band and here's what the band's doing and, you know, here's us recording a record and here's us, you know, working on writing songs or whatever. But we never really get to see into the lives of the people who support us and appreciate us and who are moved by what we do. So we thought we could do that contest and, you know, we felt it would be fun for you guys, and it was fun for us.
It was a lot of fun.
Cool.
You know, I didn't win, but I just still had a whole bunch of fun doing it.
Thank you. I mean, we spent I don't know, maybe 100 hours watching the 1,000 entries, and they're all very interesting. Are you privy to this, Drew?
No, tell us about this.
What we did was we did a contest that was called Begin Transmission, where we asked fans if they wanted to submit a 2-minute video just telling us about them. To our website, what they were into, their interests, what art they liked, what their job was, what their friends are, and just basically they could do whatever they wanted with the video. So there was this huge gamut of creativity or lack thereof, or, you know, candidness, or, you know, just all sorts of different people doing all sorts of different things, and it was very interesting. And then we picked a group of us together picked how many? Five?
Yeah.
Five. We picked five winners, and then there was a public vote, and those people came, and we filmed them coming into the studio and recording, singing with us on Crash Love, and Smith, our tour manager, did days in the life with them that's all viewable on fireinside.net.
That's cool.
It was fun.
Yeah. Very interesting. And again, Fire Inside is the website. Mm-hmm. There's also Zoo Boutique.
Zoo Boutique, yes. The very, very, very limited edition.
Which I'll be wearing.
T-shirt line that
I'm going to be now wearing.
Oh, yes. I brought some for Drew.
Yeah, you brought like a stack to Drew, and Drew was acting like an Indian boy who saw his first pencil. Jumping for joy.
He was you know, complimenting the yellow shirt that I had last time,
excited.
And I would really like
and
to see
And now I like the blue line in it, too. Like
okay, great.
Too.
Yeah, so there's zooboutique.com there, which actually, if you go there, you will hear some of the workings of Jade Puget. When you first hit, you'll hear a very nice little techno moment loop mm-hmm. that is written by Jade, who helped me out. Thank you.
Erica, what's going on?
Hi.
Hey.
Well, first of all, I want to say hi to Daisy and Jade, and just Hello. Thank you guys for everything. You know, since I discovered AFI, like, I've been completely changed in every way. I mean, all good ways. I've become vegetarian because of you guys. You know, I got involved with the straight edge movement. So
awesome.
I want to thank you guys for everything.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Is this the same caller over and over again tonight? Or?
Same basic theme.
Basically. Mm-hmm.
So what's going on?
Okay, well, I'm bisexual, and I may have known for a while. And physically and sexually, I'm more attracted to guys, but, fantasy-wise and, like, you know, erotica-wise and stuff, I'm more attracted to, like, females and lesbians, and that just, like, seemed off to me. Like,
seems what to you?
Seems, like, off. Like, it shouldn't
off.
Be that way, like... If I'm sexually attracted to guys, shouldn't I be equally sexually attracted to girls? Or
I'm having trouble following you, but are you saying that you just, when you look at porn, you like looking at girl on girl, and when you're thinking about being with somebody, yeah. you like being with a guy?
Well, yeah, like, I mean, you know, just own my own personal fantasies are like, you know, porn and...
But those are gay fantasies?
Basically, yeah.
Okay, but when you want to think of a relationship, you think about guys?
Well, yeah, yeah.
All right, I don't... That's not really bi. That's a lot of straight women do that.
This is the 90s, man.
Anything yeah, a lot of that. Straight women do that.
Yeah, that's straight, so, right? Yeah. Wait, but Drew, let me just clarify
ahead.
Really quick. At first, did you say that in actual life you prefer having sex with males?
Well, I mean, honestly, like, I'm still a virgin and everything.
So hey, Erica, I'm confused, so I can just imagine you're confused, okay? So confusion is not bisexuality. That's confusion. And that's cool. You're 17, trying to figure stuff out. But my head is starting to spin around like a top right now, just hearing you talk.
She's an equal opportunity fantasist.
It's all good. It's all fine. But it's confusion. And the fact is, I like guys. I want to be with guys. I romance about guys. I look at gay porn. Okay. That's all good. Sit tight with it. It's going to sort itself out one way or the other. Anything?
Yeah, you don't really have to put a label on it.
Yeah, you don't have to declare a major right here.
Certainly, if you're not sexually active, you really don't. You know.
Let's take some more Davey and Jade calls. Jacqueline, what's going on?
Hello?
Jacqueline.
Hi.
Jacqueline calling from Ontario, Canada, and her life has been changed by you guys, and she's turned vegan, and she's
are you sure? Maybe she doesn't like us.
Next question.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's up?
Well, first of all, I'm very excited for the new album, and I just know it'll be great.
I've seen the live and privy to the lyrics. They're amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Awesome. I've also... done a begin transmission video with my friend Leah, and I have to say hello to you two from her, otherwise she'd kill me.
Hello.
But, my question.
Let me guess, Leah's life's been changed by AFI. She turned vegan straight edge now. Okay, anyway. Okay.
Do you listen to talk about the themes behind the lyrics?
Uh-huh.
And I was just wondering, is there anything that sticks out in your mind that is representative of the way this record will sound, because I know you guys always do really distinct things, and it's...
What the sound is? I mean, it's definitely distinctively different from my last album, which, again, was distinctively different from the album before that. It's what, Anderson?
It sounds like this.
Oh, there it is. It's a lot like
it's
this.
It's distinct, different. It's,
you know, it's kind of got that hee-haw kind of vibe.
Yeah.
May, what was the woman on hee-haw? The old lady with the thing hanging from her hat?
Oh, damn.
With the price tag.
Mini Pearl.
Mini Pearl.
Oh.
Yeah, I looked to Mini Pearl personally for a lot of inspiration. And Jade?
We can't give it away. We're keeping it. We're playing our cards close to our vest on this one.
Honestly, I really wouldn't know what to say about it, To be truthful, maybe Jade could, but I couldn't.
It sounds good when you listen to it.
Yeah, it sounds nice when
you
listen to it.
You got to listen to the album. All right, good.
It's different.
Bottom line.
Okay.
Hey, Chris, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
What was it? There's just like one girl. We were friends, right?
Right.
And we randomly started fooling around like not too long ago.
Okay.
And in the middle of it, I could tell she was really turned on, but all of a sudden she stopped me in the middle, like just stopped me cold turkey. Mm-hmm. And she told me she wanted to act like it never happened. And I was wondering, like, you know, do you have any idea what like that means at all? I don't know. It just really got me confused.
It was a random question in the middle of a story. So you were hooking up, and then she suddenly said, "No, I can't do this."
Uh-huh.
Did those words come out of her mouth? No, I can't do this?
No, she was just like, "No, no more."
And then we can't talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
Does she have a boyfriend?
Right. That's the first thing.
What?
Does she have a boyfriend?
No.
Does she have someone she wants to be her boyfriend?
No.
Plus, sometimes those things, you know, you're in the heat of the moment, and you just let it go farther than you thought it was going to go. Maybe she didn't even want to go that far, and then she realized, like, wait, what am I doing?
I'm sorry, how old are you guys?
20.
And is she 20?
19.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like, what Jade had a point, maybe, I mean, are you guys really good friends?
Yeah.
Okay, but that's probably, I mean, she was probably uncomfortable with the situation. She didn't, were you guys sober?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that's cool.
Dave's like, huh? But here, yeah, I think Davey's got the most there's infinite variations on this scene, Chris. Yeah, the fact that this is the first time you're encountering this, I can just tell you it won't be the last.
Yeah.
What exactly is motivating her? Only she knows. The fact is she may not be attracted to you romantically and may know that, and because doesn't want to go further with you sexually so it doesn't screw up the relationship for fear of you developing romantic attachments to her.
Yeah.
You get it?
Oh, okay.
It could be that. That'd be a likely explanation. But the reality, the real explanation, only she knows.
Oh, okay.
But you will encounter this again.
You could ask her.
Yeah, sure. Just say, I'm confused. I want to be your friend, but this is bugging me. What exactly happened? Is it about the friendship?
Yeah, she may tell you something that you'd never expect.
And you can kick the door open and go, is it about the friendship? Do you want to just preserve that? Just give her an out.
All right.
Give her a chance to explain herself to her. She got some explaining to do. And, am I right, guys? He will encounter this again.
Happen over and over again.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
It's not like, I don't think it's a statement on him.
No. It's just somebody changes directions mid.
Don't take it personally. It was probably about me. She's probably mad at me for some
Davey,
reason. And she knew you were going to call in here.
She started thinking about you and lost the whole all
exactly.
Energy.
She's
she
like, this
feeling.
Is disgusting and so
Speaking
weird.
Speaking of Dave, here's Lexi. What's up, Lexi?
Hi. Back in, like, 2007, last time Davey and Jade were on, I called, and I talked about my girlfriend at the time and how she was, like, on drugs and whatever. And I just wanted to tell you guys that you helped me so much.
Oh, good.
Fantastic.
I think I remember you.
I remember you, too. Yeah, that was heavy. I'm glad that we've helped.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to tell you that. And then I wanted to know, like, when are you guys making, like, another Black Audio CD, and if you guys are going on tour anytime soon.
Black Audio?
We've basically, we have one for the most part done, but we also have a new AFI CD, so, you know, we can't release them at the same time, so
I'm going to get it as soon as it comes out.
Thank you. Yeah, the Black Audio record will probably be out. Once you're tired of listening to the AFI record, we'll put out the Black Audio
record.
Will
you tour separately as Black Audio?
Yeah,
we
will. We have toured as Black Audio. We toured. Yeah. Unfortunately, we didn't come. We were in Seattle doing promo, but we never got to play a show. And our friend Johnny Pettibone, who is in HIMSA, who, if you live in Seattle, did you say you lived in Seattle?
No, I live in, Lacey, Olympia.
Olympia.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, our friend Johnny from Seattle has been wanting to bring us to his club, Graceland, for a while, and we'd love to, but hopefully next time we'll get up there to Washington.
Okay.
All right, Lexi. They'll be looking for you.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye. I think we're going to go to break here, and we're going to do it with a match game.
Okay.
Remember the match game?
I don't remember the match game.
Oh, Dave, we didn't play it last time you were here.
He doesn't watch TV.
I don't know if I'm thinking of the right match game.
Remember this music? Does it ring any bell for you?
It sounds like.
Remember the 1970s?
There was a
crazy match game with Gene Rayburn with the long, skinny mic with the crazy button microphone on top.
Okay.
And he'd have a panel of celebrities circa Charles Nelson Reilly, Richard Dawson.
Celebrity Squares, like kind of thing.
But it was a little panel. It wasn't squares.
Okay.
And they would have matches. They'd have like blank, they'd fill in the blank, and the contestant would have to match the celebrity. So it'd be like blank toast,
French.
Blank toast, right, or buttered toast, or
okay.
wheat toast, or whatever, okay. and they'd okay. have to match them. So here's our match game, and our this gentleman over here, Tyler.
Hi, Tyler.
Tries to F with us by okay. making these as difficult as possible.
Okay.
So just prepare yourself.
Okay.
And he never allows us the spirit of the game, which is supposed to be a blank. He makes it more of a Mad Lib.
Okay.
So there's always multiple blanks.
Okay.
So with that as our preamble, here we go. Jason asks. Jason's in New York. And Petey's got a sinister smile. So, Tyler, he's up to something.
Okay.
Davey, in 1994, did you have to blank your blank due to court order?
I know the answer.
Okay. Well, did you have to blank your blank due to court order?
Okay.
Come back with some match game. AFI, Davey, okay. Jade Puget, after this.
Okay.
You got it on Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline is coming back.
Jade Pugic, they are AFI, and they're with us tonight on Loveline.
Hello.
AfireInside.net is the website,
mm-hmm.
also Zoo Boutique.
Mm-hmm.
Does Black Audio have a website?
BlackAudio.com, yes.
right? BlackAudio.com.
I believe so, yeah.
Spelled
B-L-A-Q-K. Black Audio.
And Dr. Drew is not going to be on their upcoming album.
I will not be on upcoming because I blew them off to be with my family.
Maybe, okay, wait a minute. Maybe Dr. Drew will be on the upcoming Black Audio
yeah.
album.
Well, Jay just said he was going to create an opera vignette.
Techno opera, though.
Techno
no.
opera. I'm in.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. I'm in. Whatever mm-hmm. longs I get to sing, it's all cool.
Yeah, imagine all the kids that are going to hump to that song, to that album that you're going to be on.
It's
that
true.
Or might interrupt us, everything else. Sorry.
Hopefully not.
hopefully be good enough that it
hopefully,
won't.
Hopefully not.
We're doing the match game. Jason's calling us. And, Davey, you're going to be the last to answer this because you have, as it were, a leg up on this.
Okay.
Tyler really set us up on this one. Davey, in 1994, did you have to blank your blank due to a court order? And, I mean, Tyler.
Yeah.
It could be anything, right? For me.
Sure.
Could be sell your car. Could be...
It's an action.
Dump
and
your girl...
Act.
Dump your girlfriend. I said sell your car, dump your girlfriend. leave your family. Leave your home.
It's a little
sell
more
your
abstract.
Home.
And more specific at the same
Maybe
time.
Maybe in 1994, let's see, you do have to sell your house due to a court order.
What? No.
What do I know?
More specific.
Jade?
I know this one.
Oh, see, they both know it.
Yeah.
All right, let's have Davey fill it in.
Would you like to ad lib it?
Well, let's see if Jason actually knows before you spill it out. Jason, what's going on?
Hi.
Ask Davey the question.
I read in my Maximum Rock and Roll that I won on eBay some time ago.
Mm-hmm.
It said that at the beginning of the interview, it said that you had to shave your mohawk because of a court order.
Yeah.
And I wanted, and you didn't really elaborate in the interview, mm-hmm. like you didn't mention it. And I was just curious as to whether 15 years later you'd be willing to elaborate on it?
Yes. In fact, I will be completely candid with you. Here's a true story. Much like now, then, when people would ask me stupid questions about my hair, I would make stuff up. And so after being so tired of people asking me why I cut my hair, I finally at one point said it was a court order. And I think I made up some story to go with it. At the time, so
why did you cut your mohawk?
So he did say
that's not the real story.
He did say he had to cut off his mohawk due to a court order, but in fact, he didn't actually have to.
Yeah. Yes.
Davey changes his look all the time, and he gets very tired of explaining himself.
Matt, I need to explain myself.
He's like Madonna. He's got to reinvent his image every time.
Yeah. Right.
Wait, is that
it's unsatisfying for Davey?
Is that it? Do you want something else?
That's fine.
Are you an AFI fan, Dave? Jason?
Oh. Of course, man, yeah.
Well, here's your chance. Oh, you got both Jade and Davey here. You want to ask them a question
you.
Other than...
Maybe Jason's just a hairdresser.
You can't be here. Nice Quaaludes, though.
Wondered thing. You guys played that at a K-Rock thing, but any chance that's going to become, like, a regular thing when you guys start touring the U.S. again?
No.
That was pretty fun, but we haven't really thought about the set list yet.
That's a little too far in advance for us. We maybe just finished the record just tonight.
Jason, where are you calling from?
Mineola, New York.
Where is that?
Yeah, where is that?
Long Island.
Long Island.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah. So I'm sure they'll be through that vicinity somewhere.
Yeah, we'll be there. We'll,
you know, last time we were in Long Island, we pulled up and we were playing at a tiny little bar. This was a long time ago.
I remember this.
And we rolled in the whole parking lot. Well, not the whole parking lot, but there was a huge group of White Power skinheads listening to Screwdriver to greet
that.
Us as we pulled in.
Yep, I remember
and
that.
And we knew it was going to be an amazing night.
It was an interesting night.
And the roof collapsed on us as we were playing.
Yep, and the stage was like 8 feet tall, but the roof was low.
Only two of us could stand on the stage, and the other two had to stand on the floor because it was like about a 4-foot by 4-foot stage.
And remember, there was the stripper store next door that sold like, you know, the lingerie and the stripper heels and stuff. And there were, do you remember the strippers with the fangs?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, there were these two strippers that came to the show, and they had, you know, it was back when like having actual fangs.
Does it make you proud to be from Long Island, Jason?
Not really.
No,
that's
all right.
Well, you know, Long Island, I'm sure.
Wasn't there a hardcore band from Long Island? Someone was from Long Island.
There were a few.
Okay, hit me. Hit me with some knowledge.
Crime and Stereo. That's really all I can think of at the moment.
I don't know what that
is. I'm nervous right now.
Okay.
Jade
probably does. You know, we were talking about someone that actually ended up being from Long Island the other day, an old hardcore band. Well,
no, I don't know.
Okay, if anyone's out there, can please tell us who that. I mean, you guys all have Google. You can figure it out. But we're talking like 80 to 87, somewhere in there.
Long Island band. Caden. 16. What's up, Caden?
Hi.
Turn off your radio.
What?
Turn off your radio.
Sorry. Okay. First, I wanted to say, Jade, I absolutely love you. I actually got my name changed to Jaden because of you.
Whoa. Why not just Jade then?
Because I didn't want to be like exactly like it. So a whole
Jade the second.
Call me Jade.
Oh, that's cute. Thank you.
What do your parents call you?
My parents call me Jaden. I don't let them call me by my other name now.
Did you legally change it?
Yeah, I just switched it. So I made it my first name, and then my original first name is now my middle name.
What was your original first name?
It was Leandra.
Leandra.
Yeah.
See, I'm named after Mick Jagger's daughter, so now you're basically named after Mick Jagger's daughter, too.
Awesome.
All right. There we go. All right. What's going on? What is your question?
My question
is... We're freaking out moderately. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
My boyfriend is allergic to the stuff in condoms.
The stuff in condoms.
The spermicide?
Latex. Okay.
And I wanted to know if there's any other alternative other than sheepskin, because I'm a vegan, and yeah, so I
yes.
would use that.
Yes, polyurethane. Most condom companies, I know Trojan does for sure, makes a polyurethane condom. So you're good to go with that.
That's a pretty common allergy, right?
It is common. I think it's not as common as people make it out to be. I mean, think how many times every human comes in contact with latex gloves and how many of us have actually had a major allergic reaction from it. And 95 times out of 100, when a woman calls in and says, I'm having an allergy to the latex, that's not what it is. It's either some dryness from medication or birth control pills, or they're having sex for too long, or they're not, you know, there's things that can correct what they're experiencing have nothing to do with the latex. And people get those complaints all the time. But in a male, if he has an actual allergic reaction, you certainly don't want to test it. So polyurethane, all right?
Okay.
All right, Jade, Jaden, Caden, Leandra.
Do you know the phenomena of... it's a transgender phenomena where one partner... transgens.
Correct.
Thank you. In order to appear, to look like their partner.
I mean, like Liberace's boyfriend? Yeah.
Right. And,
Driver, right?
Okay, yeah. Yeah. There's Liberace and there's Piotrage, Genesis.
Is that right?
Yeah, do you know Genesis? Psychic TV and Robin Gristle, Genesis. Phil Collins did it.
It's a pretty unusual thing. I never dealt with anyone that was doing that.
Okay.
Put it that way.
Okay, yeah.
What are you asking?
I was just wondering
what that's all about.
Yeah, what it's called, what it's all about.
I don't think it has a name, I don't think.
Okay.
We'll call it the mirror effect, just so I can promote my book.
Changing your name to Jade brought the concept to my mind. You know, like changing myself to Jade would be the next step.
Any name changing is always like, for an adolescent. You got to like, ugh.
As we in the lyric we were talking about.
Yes.
Every day, you know, on a side note, that I walk into the studio, Dave over here is reading your book.
Oh, nice.
In the lounge.
Very kind. So, yeah.
It's true.
I'm greeted by your face every time I walk in.
So I apologize for that, it's but true. I appreciate David's reading the book.
It's a fantastic book. Everyone out there should read it. Drew's probably telling you that. If he's not, he should be.
Well, it's very kind.
It's a great
book. It's a new book I wrote called The Mirror Effect, and it's for strange coincidence. Coincided very much with some of the stuff David was writing about in his
quite
letters,
quite a bit.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
It was very tip.
Thank you. Speaking of writing, let's talk to Dave. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. Hey, Dr. Jerome. Huge fan of Loveline.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks for putting me on. And I guess, here's the thing. I'm pretty creative. I've got IQ of, 134, not to, blow my own horn or anything. I used to be able to write books and music, and I used to be in a band and stuff. I just don't feel like I can write anymore, and I guess I'm asking you, Drew, and Davey, and Jade, if you guys have any tips on... I don't know how to start writing again, how to get more creative again.
Writer's block.
You need a muse. A muse, you need some inspiration to break out of that writer's block, that slump.
Is there...
Everyone gets it.
Do you have other stuff going on that's, stressing you out in your life, that's, taking the focus away from your creativity?
I always used to have a girlfriend. I guess that was kind of my muse. I just half decided to not have a girlfriend for a while and just to kind of learn to be on my own. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I guess that's given me some trouble in that area.
Are you preoccupied with your lack of relationship status?
Are you depressed?
That's good, though.
I've had problems with depression.
All right. When you're depressed, some people get more creative when they're depressed. Yeah. Some people get blocked.
Yeah.
A painful breakup is good fodder for creativity.
But not
for
this gentleman.
And I used to think that. I used to try writing songs about that. But every time I tried, it just became, I guess too difficult to write. Not like I would get emotional or anything. I guess I just don't want to feel the emotion from that,
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. Too painful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But I guess I just...
Hey, Dave, here's what I would suggest. You directed the question to me, too, which I think it's interesting that I do know a little bit about this, because before I wrote The Mirror Effect, I wrote a book called Cracked, and that was just a spontaneous story I told that was sort of inspired from working with addicts. And 9/11 happened right in the middle of me writing that book, and I, for 6 months, could not write a word. And I found it very fascinating. I thought, well, this is just, I'm just writing. It's just like a project, like doing a paper for a history class. Mm-hmm. No, the creative process is really something unique. It's something, for stuff to spontaneously come out of you, it's got to be the right environment.
Right, absolutely.
It has to be an openness. And I would say, Dave, it sounds like the kind of thing you would need to kind of get back in the game would be more structure in your life, regular exercise, and I would say keeping people around you that are connected to you. You need to be close to a lot of people. And the feeling I get from you is aloneness and despair. And for whatever reason, that's not a good place for you when you're writing. I can imagine it wouldn't be. Mm-hmm. And that only gets filled with trust and closeness with other people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So you would suggest then seeking out a relationship?
No.
Not romantic.
Quite the contrary, because that's a false sense of that. That's a sort of a love addiction thing.
Yeah.
In fact, you might want to check out a book called Don't Call It Love. In fact, what you need is more friends, people who really give an S about you, who care about you, and hang out with people that may be different, new people than you'd normally hang out with, so you can sort of see yourself, as they say, with a new pair of glasses.
Plus, the structure thing you're talking about, isn't it? I don't know if you have this experience, but with writers, just setting aside a certain amount of time every day, even if you do not feel like it.
Even
just
sit there and stare at the screen,
it
is, or stare at the computer.
How about just a shiny new pen, Drew? Nice, ink pen that just ink just flows out on the page.
Not all of us are as easily inspired as you, Tyler. No, yeah, for you, just a nice new fountain pen.
Goose tip quill pen.
Oh, my God. I know people like that. They'll go out and buy a bunch of equipment and stuff, and they just sit there and still not do anything.
Well, let me ask you. Can I ask Dave a question really quick? Is Dave still there?
He's there.
Dave, are you finding any modern forms of art interesting? Are you still pursuing, finding stuff to inspire you?
Yeah, that's the thing. I find everything interesting, but not one thing in particular to get really passionate about,
Mm-hmm.
I love exploring every kind of art, but...
Well, right, but you haven't found anything that really moves you recently?
No, never one thing, you know, like, mm-hmm. like I love hip-hop just as much as I love punk, you know, like,
right.
everything.
But there isn't, but like, those few artists that right now that you found just say, oh, I love this. Because, I mean, if you keep searching and you don't have to look in current, certainly I would actually suggest looking in the past and, you know, try to find something new that maybe you haven't delved into before, and you might really enjoy it, and that may spark something in you. In fact, I would say definitely look to the past.
This is me.
This is Drew.
This
could
be
it.
The trick for Dave.
This could be it for Dave.
This could be it for Dave to inspire him.
It could be.
So you got to build something around Andre Chenier, yeah.
Okay. Just a techno beat in there.
We had enough of this yet? Had enough, Anderson? Anderson finds infinite joy in this.
It's impressive. That's true. Yeah.
It's very impressive. All right, Michelle, what's going on?
Hi. Last summer, my son, I feel, was molested. I never did take him in to the doctor because I didn't want him to be re-traumatized. But he started speaking and he started verbalizing to me that I think he was definitely molested.
What happened?
I was at a restaurant with my family and all of their church friends. And my food had just came, and this man, who I know as an acquaintance from their church, said, oh, can I hold him for a second and while you eat? And I said, sure. And I turned my back, and he was gone.
Whoa.
He took off with my kid.
Wow.
And he said, oh, yeah, we were just right out in front. No, he wasn't. I was standing out in front. I went to go to the bathroom to see if he took him in there. And my mom, being from religious background, saying, oh, this person would never do anything like that. You're just worrying over nothing. Well, my son didn't have, like, a bowel movement for almost, like, 2 weeks
Mm-mm.
after that. And he's, like, pretty regular. So probably, like, 6 months ago, I had, like, a thermometer in a case, and he expressed to me, like, baba, wawa, and was holding it up to, like, his bottom area. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was. And
did something happen to you growing up?
Say it again.
Did something happen to you growing up?
I think so. I listen to your show quite frequently, and you had expressed on that someone was in their dream world, if they get that feeling of like a heavy sensation, a heavy feeling almost being like they're on top of you.
Right. That's called a night terror.
I've had those a lot. I haven't had that particular one lately, but I used to have those quite frequently.
Now, that doesn't necessarily equate with sexual abuse. Okay? Was your mom sexually abused?
I'm not sure.
Again, it's the reason I ask those questions is because magically people that have that history are attracted to and by people that are perpetrators. And you tend to magically, unconsciously bring those kinds of people around. Both the grandma can do that, and then mom can do that. It's amazing that's how history repeats itself across generations many times. And not only that, the flip side to that is, if something like this had happened to you, could you be overly anxious about it happening to the kid and be freaked out about it? Because nothing you've told me necessarily means that happened to him, though I understand your concern. I share that concern. Have you discussed this with his pediatrician?
No.
Okay, well, that...
I just didn't...
That's what you need to do, Michelle. This is not something... Okay. Listen, if this were my kid, I'd have them airlifted to a mental health professional. I would not try to manage this alone. Are you kidding? Okay?
Okay.
You need help. And God knows, if this did happen to him, he's going to need some work down the line. He's going to need somebody to watch him and deal with some of the behavioral issues as they come out.
I guess it's now too young to, like, take him in there.
There may not be much you can do right now, but the pediatricians may have some preventative kinds of measures they can offer and some preemptive things to be done. Sure, I think so, by all means. And that's where it starts with the pediatrician. You guys are quiet. A lot of nodding over there on Jaden Davies' part.
It's beyond our jurisdiction.
Yeah, this is all top of you.
You.
All right, let's then move on to Lily. What's up, Lily?
Hi. First of all, I just want to say that hi to Davey and Jade, and I love you guys.
Thank you, Lily.
I'm good at that.
And yeah. I need to give a shout out to my two friends, Soleil and Avalon. They love you guys so much.
Soleil?
If I don't say hi for them.
Was her name Soleil or Filet?
Soleil and Avalon.
As in circus.
Avalon.
Soleil and Avalon.
No, as in Soleil Moonfry.
How about Xanadu?
Soleil Moonfry, Avalon. Oh.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you both. Thank you. Thank you all.
All right. And my question, I need help on how to tell someone that I like I've known him since I was about 14, and we used to be really good friends, and then we started, like, hooking up, and, like, some stuff happened, and we kind of drifted apart, and now I just feel like our relationship is just purely sexual, and...
You're just somebody to hang out with in a booty call.
Now, come on. So, what's the question, then?
I don't know how to, like, tell him that I, like, want it to not just be sexual anymore.
What do you want it to be?
I want it to be back to, like, because we used to be really good friends, and now it's not like that anymore.
And that's hard to go back.
Yes, it is. Particularly 16, 17-year-old guy.
Is that, how old are you?
Is he 17?
I'm 16.
Ooh.
And he is?
He's 18.
17, 18-year-old guys. They're not the most flexible people.
Nor multifaceted.
No.
No.
Yeah, the sex is pretty much the preoccupation. Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a real tough situation.
I think you make it clear to him. Don't string this along. You certainly have a right to step up and get what you want from this relationship. However, I think what you're going to have to ask for is a time apart, like at least 3 months or so, and make it clear you want to reestablish the friendship. You really care about him, but don't leave the door open, because any crack in the door to him is going to mean sex. You guys agree with me?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Plus, they can get kind of peeved, you know, if you take that away. It's like, you know.
It's like taking a bone away from a dog.
They're not going to react.
No, they're not going to be happy about that.
No. And they're hurt. They're reacting because they're threatened. They're reacting because they're hurt. They're reacting because they're physically uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not and again, not the most flexible population, 17-year-old males.
Yeah.
They got energy. So, Lily, be realistic. Be clear. And let him take whatever time he needs to come to terms with this, okay?
Okay.
All right, my dear. Good luck.
Thank you.
1-800-LOVE-191. Dennis.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Dennis.
Hi. I just wanted to say hi. First of all, I wanted to say hi to Davey and Jade, because I'm a really big fan of AFI.
Thanks, Dennis.
Black Audio. And I know I'm going to sound like everyone else. But
well, no, stop. Let me guess. They've been a huge influence on your life. You're vegan and straight edge now.
It's vegan, yeah.
That's great.
Thank you. That's awesome.
And,
Drew, do you think, I mean, if every...
It's happening to me. I can feel it right now.
Drew, if every caller on your show called in and said they were straight edge and vegan, wouldn't it be a better world?
It would be a better world.
Okay.
I'm feeling myself going straight edge.
You should be straight edge vegan.
I kind of am. Aren't I straight edge? Pretty much.
You know, I was explaining to my friend, from Ben Gray from Scarlet Gray tonight, that I love sitting with you because you're sort of like a chaotic good version of the chaotic straight edge that has a lot of darkness to it. But I enjoy sitting and talking with you because you take something, you know, the militant viewpoint of the straight edge, and, you know, give advice with it and be caring instead of brutal like we are.
Oh, yeah, okay, gotcha.
You know, but, yeah, I mean, yes, in a way. See? In a way, you are. In a sense. A lot of similar philosophies, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's less visceral.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had a question for Davey and Jade and for you, Dr. Drew. Davey and Jade, I wanted to know, how is it dating being a straight-edge vegan? Because I don't know if I'm being picky or not, but I'm trying to find someone else who is, and I'm gay as well. Mm-hmm. And it's like the gay community is not being very kind towards me and my beliefs. And in the past, I've like sacrificed one over the other, and that really hasn't worked out for me very well. So I just wanted to know if you have any advice or how dating is for you guys.
That's a very difficult thing, and it's not exclusive to the gay community. I mean, it's something that you have to deal with in being vegan and being straight edge, which are two very countercultural lifestyles that you really go against the mainstream. It's a very difficult thing, and if you're dedicated to it, it's hard to find people
to date people of similar mindset?
Well, I mean, it depends on your perspective. You don't have to.
Or is it like differing religions or that kind of thing?
You don't have to do it, but yeah. It's very difficult because straight edge is not simply being drug free. It's something that you're passionate about, and you are against drug use. You are opposed to it. You are in opposition to drug use.
Right.
And being a vegan, there's just practical problems that you have with being a vegan. If you're going to go eat with somebody that you're seeing, then you have to go to places where you can eat and they can eat. And then, you know, there's practical problems with that aside from the political aversion
to
seeing someone, you know, eat,
I see. Yeah,
eat something brutal.
Oh, yeah, that'd be tough. Are there websites or they're telling us we have to go to break?
Oh, okay. I'm like, what's happening?
I was gonna weigh in on this because you know I'm in a relationship that we're both, she's not straight edge and I am, but the music is playing me.
Yeah,
off,
the music's playing.
Okay,
yeah,
we'll pick
play
up this conversation after the break. That is Davey Havoc and Jade Puget. They are AFI. They are also Black Audio, and they're here with us at 1-800-LOVE-191. This is Loveline. We'll be right back.
Los Angeles, 1983, when too much was never enough. The Informers, a movie from the author of American Psycho, and Lesson Zero, starring Billy Bob Thornton, Kim Basinger, Winona Ryder, and Mickey Rourke. The Informers, now playing.
Loveline.
Dr. Drew is hot.
Why, yes, he sure is.
You got it on Loveline.
Loveline.
Loveline, David Havoc, Jade Puget. They are collectively AFI and Black Audio, but tonight they're AFI.
Are we?
Well, you're whatever you
are. Actually, tonight we're Black Audio because it's the two of us.
Okay.
So, I mean, we're really, truly, I mean, we're missing two of AFI.
Or one of us can be one can be the other.
Okay.
It's all good.
Okay.
Taking your calls at 1-800-LOVE-191. Old Allie here has been on hold for like over an hour, so let's talk to her. Allie?
Hi, Allie.
She vegan?
Hi.
What's going on? Sorry to keep you waiting.
Oh, it's okay. My question is that I am bisexual, and when I have sex with women, I have no problem, like, having an orgasm. But I have a boyfriend now. We've been together for about 4 months, and over, like, the last couple of weeks while we're having sex, I have to, like, think about things that anger me in order to have an orgasm.
Whoa, wow.
Yeah.
What? That anger you?
Yeah, that, like, I don't know, things that, like, if I got into a fight with my friend or, like, somebody called me a name, like, I don't know.
But
like
you didn't have to use that anger mechanism with sex with women?
No.
Oh. You said it was with your boyfriend?
Yeah.
How long have you been with this guy?
About 4 months.
How's the relationship going?
Pretty good.
And why are you with a guy now?
I'm bisexual, so I guess I'm more attracted to women, but... Okay. I kind of liked them for a while, and we started dating. And
she kind of sounds like a guy to me, a little bit, right?
And what do you think the anger thing's about?
I don't know.
You have no clue?
No.
So you've never had any relationship with a male that triggered you to be rageful or angry?
No.
Dad was great. Not a trick question. Dad was great, right?
It was what?
Your dad.
Dad was great.
I guess so.
I didn't know your dad. You tell me.
Yeah.
He was great. He never caused anger or rage, was not physically abusive, anything like that.
No.
Okay. He never hit you.
No.
Really? Why am I having a hard time believing that? Allie?
Yeah.
These aren't trick questions. Just go ahead and answer them. Why do I have difficulty believing that somebody... You there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah. Why do I have a hard time believing that somebody didn't smack you around a little bit?
Well, my mom did when I was little, not my dad.
Okay, so your mom did. And would she use objects to hit you?
Sometimes.
Okay, so you were physically abused as a child. Got it.
Yes.
Okay, fine. You smack at that. I mean, just it pours out of your pores. No, sorry, Tyler, for using the word smack. I mean, I thank you for jumping out of your seat when I said that.
Ah, like a magic word.
Yeah, he just thought the irony. He loves ironic humor, see. So, Allie, having been physically abused is going to make it very difficult for you to trust people. You're going to tend to be around people that don't treat you so great. And so my next question is, have guys in the past sort of mistreated you a little bit?
Yeah, a couple that I've been with.
Okay. It's like pulling teeth, getting this stuff out of you. It has to be there. It's just the way humans work. It just has to be there. So, naturally enough, there's all this rage, there's all this ambivalence, there's all this difficulty trusting and being close to people without these memories that kick in. And by memories, I don't mean explicit visual memories. I mean this sort of biological, intrinsic memories of having been abused. And along with that, again, the experiences of terror in childhood become sources of attraction and arousal in young adulthood. So naturally enough, that's arousing for you. That's attractive for you. You need some work. You need some help dealing with the physical abuse. It's left an imprint on you. And that's why you're having these experiences. Okay?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I figured it'd be like since it was my mom that I'd have problems with girls, but I'm...
Yeah, it doesn't have to work that way. It doesn't have to work that way. I mean, you know, your dad let you down, too, by not protecting you from mom. And for whatever reason, you know, you are gay, and that's great. And you have probably some of the same stuff going on with women as well. It's just not as explicit for some reason. And remember, you said you've had a couple of relationships with guys in your adult life that were not so cool. And that may be why it's more explicit with men than with women. Davey?
Does fear in childhood manifesting itself as arousal later in life,
yes.
Does that have some sort of like biological
yes,
imperative to
for
it?
For sure. It's a wiring.
But why? Like what? I mean, does that help with procreation
right,
somehow?
Right. I've tried to figure that out. I have a feeling it's a good thing gone bad. What Davey's asking is this phenomenon that is so common in humans, which is experiences of terror when the brain is developing, get converted to arousal and attraction in young adulthood.
Right.
And so from an evolutionary biology standpoint, why did the great magnet, God, nature, whatever your belief system, why was that put into us?
Right.
Well, right. What's the adaptive advantage to that, right? To have people put themselves, recreate situations that are dangerous.
That are traumatic or
dangerous
or frightening,
Fight
or flight.
What could possibly be the adaptive advantage to that? And all I can figure out is, A, that from a population standpoint, the people that are, they may be the canary in the coal mine. They may be warning signals for the rest of the population. They may absorb stuff for the rest of the population, A. And B, it may be a good thing gone bad. In other words, the converse, that we tend to be attracted to good things,
yeah,
seems to be true as well if we don't have bad things that happen in childhood.
So it may just
be a sidetracking of a system that's in place that's important biologically from a good standpoint, and it just goes off the wrong direction when bad things happen.
Could it also be maybe that sexual energy or sexual gratification is the closest analog to anger and fear, and so
yes,
that's the easiest way for it to be channeled?
There's no doubt that's true. But again, Davey's question still is begged then, which is why? Why did it evolve that way?
Well, and maybe there's no real reason for it or
no
explanation.
Constructive biology.
Correct. It may just be one of those things. There might be some element to it that has an adaptive advantage, and the rest of it doesn't make sense. Like alcoholism, for instance. I believe that's an evolutionary a product of evolution, alcoholism. If you look at alcoholics, and we're going off topic a little bit here, but it's not really a Loveline topic, but let me go on to a little bit here for a second.
No, it's really not.
But let me just do it for a second.
I got a good segue, so go ahead.
Right. That alcoholics, if you look at populations where alcoholism emerges, it's populations that are isolated and extremely stressed for multiple generations, like military genocidal assaults.
Okay.
The people that survive, alcoholics. So the fittest in extreme situations tend to carry the gene for alcoholism.
So they can survive self-poisoning.
In these incredible – no. They just are – that gene helps people survive in certain circumstances, but in times of peace, it has a liability.
I got it.
So why did it evolve? It didn't evolve for the peaceful times. It evolved for survival during the stressful times.
I see. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. What's that, Anderson?
I just want to hear about April on line two.
Okay. Hey, April, what's going on?
I want to hear about her for a while.
Okay, here she is. April, what's up?
Hi. Actually, can I say first, was it Glashdoll that you guys were thinking of?
No, but thank you. That's far too late. Thank you, though.
What was that? Where'd that go?
Remember a long time ago we were trying to think of the hardcore band from Long Island?
Oh, yeah, okay, fair enough. Okay.
But that post dates my knowledge of...
Well done, April.
Thank you, though.
Okay, sorry. My question is, I'm 23, I'm a virgin, like pretty much a complete virgin.
Wait.
We want to understand what
basically
that means.
Basically, I've only ever sucked a guy off.
Oh, okay.
That's as far as I've gone.
She learned that in finishing school, Tyler. That's good. Okay.
I thought it was just
a tip.
Sorry.
But when I have
like sexual fantasies and things. As of late, they've been increasingly more violent.
Huh.
Once again,
like,
yes,
I mean, as far as what people do to me and them, as far, like knives, guns, things like these are popping into the fantasy.
Did you experience violence as a child?
That's an easy question, right?
Yes, actually, I will admit, when I was six, my parents were separated.
Yeah.
And me and my cousins were thrown into a closet and told that our fathers were drunk, coming to rape and kill our mothers and then kill us.
Therefore,
and we were in that closet for
violent fantasies. Shocking. Shocking.
Shocking.
Okay.
Shocking.
Sorry.
Okay. So that's awful. April, I'm sorry you had to go through that.
I mean, it's just, it kind of freaks me out that they're starting to go that way because they were normal for a while, but now they're, like I said, they're progressively getting weirder.
And, something happened in your life recently that might have triggered that?
Well, I graduated from college last night, and I was supposed to go out to L.A. and start looking for jobs more, and I'd had a couple of offers to start looking for jobs, and my dad lost his job, which kind of forced my hand to stay here in New Jersey and help out with the family, and I'm guessing maybe I'm overly stressed.
Hey, you're frustrated. You're angry.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. That's all right. And so your sexual fantasies have become a way to act out and manage this primitive feeling. It's a primitive way to manage a feeling, as opposed to be more proactive and try to either create opportunities to express your anger, whether it's physicalizing and things like that, or else changing the circumstances so you don't feel so frustrated.
I've been trying to for the past 2 months. Just recently, me and one of my friends, we sat down and actually started to talk about like how I could save and just get out of the house before my parents actually kind of guilt me into staying and pretty much playing his mother, the role of his mother.
Right, but
because I've already
again,
kind of
you're going down the right path, April. There's really not much else to be said than that. It makes sense why you would have those fantasies, right?
But why a virgin? Mm-hmm. Why a virgin?
Well, what,
I have
well,
no
some,
idea.
Something else
that.
Probably happened. Well, so why a virgin at 23?
I'm vegan, and I was straight edge for a very long time, and I still completely respect the beliefs, and I actually hold true to most
of them. Oh, she can't have meat inside of her. I got it.
Oh,
but,
very funny.
You know, I'm very, very picky, and also I think it has to go back to that whole being thrown in a closet at six, being told, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to trust. It's hard.
Bad relationships in my life. So
right, it's hard to be close to somebody. It's hard to trust somebody. It's all you expect is pain and abandonment.
Just crappy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you might want to think about getting some treatment for that. I mean, that's a very simple thing to deal with in therapy, is to learn to tolerate a relationship. That's what therapy basically is. Guys, good?
Yeah, we're good.
Quieted you guys down pretty good with this.
Human brain is a minefield over here. It's wild.
It's a funny thing, isn't it? Aaron, what's up?
Hey, how are you guys?
Hey, you're on with Davey Havoc and Jade Pugic. AFI, what's up?
Hello.
Hey, first of all, AFI, I love you guys. You guys are fantastic.
Thank you.
You're vegan? Vegan?
Situation. I took birth control about 2 days ago, and I was wondering, I feel so stupid for this, but I've been seeing this guy for about probably a month now, and I had unprotected sex again today. So my question is, should I be taking Plan B again or no?
2 days ago.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I think you probably should, yeah.
Okay, I was just wondering, because I was like, man.
Yeah, it's here's what you need to do, is get on the pill the way it's supposed to be taken, right?
What was that?
What you might want to do, one way we've used to deal with this, is by go online. There's several different pills you can take as the morning after pill.
Okay.
And it's depending which pill it is, it's one, two, or four tablets. Take the morning after pill dose and then finish the packet out from that particular pill cycle, and you'll be on your way into taking the medication where it's supposed to be taken.
Because I used to be on the pill, and then I finally, I had a relationship, ended it back in October, and so I've just gotten lazy, but I haven't been taking the pill because I haven't been sexually active until about a month ago. So
right,
I would sooner, but yeah.
It's time.
Sorry.
It's time.
Next caller.
All right, Aaron. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And this is Luis. What's up, Luis?
Hi, Luis.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on?
Davey, Jade, I just want to say hi. How are you guys?
Hey, Luis.
How's it going?
JV, actually, I got to speak with you about last Thursday, and I was the guy who cried and was hyperventilating.
We remember.
I was that guy. And my name is Luis Emmanuel.
Hi, Luis. You're very more articulate now.
You actually climaxed on the air.
It sounded like your friend put you on the air, as I recall, right?
Yeah.
You weren't prepared.
Yeah.
At first, I thought he said that he slept with you, Davey. I was quite concerned.
Oh, that wouldn't be aired on the radio, I don't think.
I came running from my apartment because I live like four apartment buildings after. So I came running in the adrenaline rush and the shock.
Oh, so now that you're more composed and prepared, what's going on, man?
Well, I just also wanted to ask you guys if when you guys start touring, you think you're going to come to Austin, Texas?
Yeah, we always come to.
Certainly hope so.
We always come to Austin.
Where do we play last time in Austin?
Do you always go to Austin?
I mean, yeah, we've been coming there for.
I know we did last time because after the show on our day off, we walked downtown over by where Emo's was, remember? And we went to that like kind of redneck bar and got vibed out of the place.
Oh yeah, they were throwing up the horns. You do the thing in Austin where it really confused us for years when we'd go there because it was before the horns were so ubiquitous and used by every. Everybody,
the college,
every sorority
there.
Girl, yeah. Every and it's like when we grew up, the horns were specifically for Mettlers to throw up. But when we'd get to Austin, there we went in this bar and everyone was throwing up the horns, and we had no idea what was going on in the sports bar. It was very
odd. Oh, how funny!
That's way ahead of the curve.
The bats are nice in Austin. Did you go see the bats? That's right. That's where the bats are?
Oh, yeah. The bats come out at sundown?
Yeah. Almost all year at dusk, there's this bridge in Austin, and you go underneath the bridge, and everyone says, oh, it's crazy. You see the bats? All these bats come out, and you go down there, and just as the sun starts to go down, like a few hundred start flying out, and you're like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then just thousands and thousands of bats fly out over your head. It's really nice. And I imagine that's what people think I do most of the time.
Yes, very good.
So I'm
as I recall, we had to wheel you in there in your coffin.
Yes, that's right. And,
The bats is one of those things we have to, like, they hit you as they're flying by, or they avoid you pretty good.
He embraces them.
I control them. Actually, I summon them and beckon them. So I'm confirming everybody's suspicions. That's what I usually do. But yes, we have been coming to Austin for a good 10, 12, 13 years now.
You guys going to start touring?
Are we going to start touring? We'll start touring when the record comes out in the fall.
So I'll show you the shows here.
Yes, fantastic.
Excellent.
Is that it, Luis?
Pretty much it. I just want to say I love you guys, and Todd and Hunter, I love them too, and I can't wait to see you guys.
We will.
On your record.
Okay. Thanks,
right,
Luis.
Thanks for calling back.
I love you guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
He loves you guys.
He does.
Steve.
That's nice.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's happening?
Trying to get through to you guys for weeks.
Here we are. Let's do it.
Well, I had only one really long relationship, and then multiple, probably six, short relationships, and all of them have ended up pretty much the same. They've ended up with either the girl cheating on me or using me, and I find out...
What does that mean, using you? What does that mean exactly?
Well, I like to take care of people, the women I'm with. I'll take them out to dinner, help them with their bills or whatnot.
Oof,
if they,
rough.
Yeah. I've kind of come to learn that that's a bad idea.
Yeah, don't do that anymore.
You're a chump.
That was Dr. Drew telling you that.
Come on now.
Not the band guy.
Well, it's severe codependency.
The DR.
It's the point of needing to take care of people. I mean, that's not your responsibility. People take care of themselves.
But why aren't you getting no play, playa?
All right, so what's going on now?
Well, after my last relationship, which was the only long relationship, it went for 2 years. It ended pretty much the same way all the rest of them did. She broke up with me, but she waited till I had given her I was getting a new car, and I was giving her my car because we had a son together.
Whoa, slow down. You have
a son together?
Bummer. Yes.
All right, so you have a family together.
Wait.
So there it's sharing vehicles is a reasonable thing if you're trying to raise a child together.
Are you wealthy?
I'm okay. I'm comfortable.
Is it your money or your family's of origins money?
A lot of it's from family passed down, but I've also made a decent living myself.
What kind of work do you do?
I'm a producer.
Of what? You live in Idaho.
Concerts.
Concerts. You're a concert promoter?
Concerts and trade shows.
Okay. All right. So what's the question?
Well, my question is, ever since I've gotten out of that relationship, I haven't really been able to feel any attraction to any woman that I come across. Like,
that's understandable.
Even if it seems like I should feel attracted to them, I end up pushing them away, and you know, and I'm not attracted to men at all. I feel like I've become asexual.
So, are you on any medication?
I'm on Prozac.
Okay, well, that asexuality from serotonin reuptake inhibitors is a common complaint. Women get it more than men. Women will feel like what they call it, sexless. Like sex, okay. Even looking at people making out and stuff doesn't make sense. Like, looks kind of weird to them.
Odd.
Steve, that's the Prozac for sure.
Okay.
And you may need the Prozac. It sounds like you are kind of a depressive guy. So talk to your doctor about maybe switching to an antidepressant that doesn't have that side effect.
He also got burned quite a few times, though.
Yeah. It is, but I'm telling you. What?
The Prozac for 4 months, and I had this problem for the past 2.5 years, so before I was even on the Prozac.
It could have been depression causing it, too, by the way. That's one of the conundrums of figuring these things out, is the depression causes the same thing as the antidepressant medicine. Were you on anything before the Prozac?
No.
Okay. So, yeah, as Jade pointed out, you've got some traumatic experiences. You have some boundary problems, my friend. I mean, you need to... You could be conceptualized as one of these sex and love addicts. You know, where you just fall for people and fantasize and live in these fantasy bubbles with somebody who really is somebody totally different than who they think they are. And then, of course, they feel like you're clingy and needy, and then they eventually cheat on you and break things up.
Okay.
Right? I mean, that's how things go. Look, again, there are a lot of books out there about love addiction. You might want to just check them out. The guy Patrick Carnes has written a number of books about this, and you would fit that profile.
Okay, is it Carnes with a K or a C?
C, C-A-R-N-E-S, Patrick Carnes.
Okay, I'll check that out.
Yeah, check him out, and then talk to your doctor about maybe changing the medication so you're not so shut down sexually.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah.
That is.
Not so fun. Let's talk to Claire. What's up, Claire?
Hi, am I on?
You're on.
Hi, I want to say hi to Davey and Jade.
Hi,
I'm a big fan. I have been for a while.
Thank you, Claire.
I'm actually a member of your guys' message board.
All right, cool.
I don't know if anybody out there knows me. My name's Claire DeLune on the board. But
are you a vegan?
Anyway,
were your life changed by AFI?
Are you straight edge?
Well,
my life was definitely changed,
okay.
But I'm unfortunately not a vegan. But
okay.
Well, the first part is great. You can work on the second part later.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
No problem.
What's up?
Well, I have a question about breast reduction.
Hmm.
I've been married now for a few years to my wonderful husband, Dave, and... you know, I'm getting up in years now, and, you know...
Up in years? You're 28, for God's sakes.
Oh, man.
She's married in this bad 10 years.
I've had a couple of kids.
Yeah.
And so...
add five more.
Sag, kind of going south, you know?
Your breasts are going south.
Yeah.
Okay. Literally.
Recently, my husband brought up the proposition of having them kind of, you know, pulled up.
Okay.
A bit.
Do the nipples point to the ground yet?
Sometimes, you know.
Yikes. What do you mean sometimes? Like when you get out of the shower? Or why sometimes?
When I'm push-ups? Not wearing a bra.
whenever you know. They're allowed to do it on their own. That's where they get
free. Yeah, you know, whenever they're free.
Okay.
Well, like, I'm not really that comfortable with surgery, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's never been something I've been easy with.
Okay.
I've never had a major surgery or anything.
It's frightening. It's invasive.
But like, my husband, you know, he doesn't think it's a big deal at all. And so I'm wondering, you know, like, is there a way that I can... like, if I don't go through with it, do you think it's going to negatively affect Dave and I's marriage? Or, you know, is it best that I just kind of suck it up and go on with it?
What do you guys think?
Andrew, I don't know.
if something like that's going to affect your marriage, you got to start looking at how solid your marriage is.
Yeah, I mean, you have kids, right?
Yeah.
You have children.
Not actually with Dave. Like, we've only been married for a couple of years. My kids are from a previous marriage.
Oh, boy.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't know. If my husband started looking at me in a different light because of my boobs were sagging, I'd be like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to go into the knife.
Yeah.
Right.
This is making you feel like
It's something you're not comfortable with. I mean, if this person is in love with you, even though he's not the father of your children, but if this person is in love with you deeply and you're saying to him, I don't want to have intrusive life-threatening surgery, because all surgery is life-threatening, then he should be okay, that's fine.
Or unless he wants to get his balls tucked or something.
Well, it just seems like something should be a mutual decision.
It should be mutual, yeah.
If something you wanted to do, he's all about it, that sounds good. But if something he's trying to foist on you, that's always a little concern.
That's a little heavy.
Got to take a break. That is Davey Havoc and Jade Puget. What's the matter? Oh, we're going to do a match game.
Ooh, match game.
You don't need the match game music.
Well, this kind of late there, Tyler. What the hell?
Yeah, and he was insisting upon it. It's all right.
Game.
It's his fault. Here's Katie's match game. My mother is thinking about blanking my blank for me. This is a female. Katie, 26. My mother is thinking about blanking my black.
I really hope it's shaving my badge. I really do.
For me. Badge game after this.
This is Loveline.
Oh, really?
Loveline will be right back.
Welcome back to Loveline. Our number is 1-800-LOVE-191. And we are engaged deeply in a match game.
Oh, yes.
Katie, my mother is thinking about blanking my blanking my blank for me. There's some very, very cool, interesting, creative solutions to this match game have been spinning around this room.
Wow.
So, Dave, you go first. I'll go second. I like Jay's.
I like Jay's, too. I didn't think about it too much. But I'm going to say... my mother is thinking of breaking up with my boyfriend for me.
That's practical.
You know? It'd be odd.
So ending my relationship for me is one word. Okay, anyway. I will say piercing my lip for me.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And Jade?
And I was thinking having my child
having
as like a
my
surrogate
baby
mother.
For
yes.
Me. I love that one.
I like that one.
They need to make a show.
Now, here's what's a little bit unsettling for me.
Uh-huh.
Other than that's an interesting variation on each one was an interesting variation of theme. Tyler back there is stone-faced, and that's never a good sign.
It's my poker face.
That mean we lost?
It means we won or we lost bad.
Okay.
Katie, what's up?
Not much.
My mother is thinking about blanking my blank for me. Fill out the match game.
Should I fill it? Should I tell him?
Yeah, we're ready.
We're ready.
Okay. Yeah, having my baby.
Oh my gosh! Yes, Jay.
Prescient.
That was awesome.
That was my prize.
Yes, yes.
Wow, you're
well
you
done.
Get,
oh, well wow. I got a standing O from Dr. Drew.
That is amazing.
Oh.
Yes, well done.
This is my first standing O of the night.
I'm telling you, for a novice at this game, that was
huge.
98 mile an hour fastball.
That was huge.
Thank you. I've heard hundreds of these, and I was still going down the shaving my vagina.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Maybe, I thought maybe she was like a quad, and she
no, having my baby
something.
Was very appealing, but it would seem too like too far-fetched.
Too good to be true.
Yeah, too good to be true.
Good job, man.
Yeah.
Well done.
Now, why would you be doing this?
Well, so you must. Did you have a hysterectomy when you were younger?
I actually was, I was born, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, some of my doctors, like, get really confused, but I have MRKH. Have you ever heard of that?
MRKH?
K-H.
MRKH.
What does that stand for?
It's just the name of the doctors who kind of found out that this was, like, an anomaly that was kind of in more than one circumstance that this happened to somebody that... I was born without a uterus, fallopian tubes, and a cervix. So I have functional ovaries, and I am 46XX chromosome female. So
right. So genetically, you're female. You're just born without a tube and uterus.
With everything except for ovaries.
So they could harvest your eggs, no problem, and put them in somebody else.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And are there other surrogate? But surrogate is expensive, right? And so your mom would be free.
Yeah, and we've looked into this. My husband and I have actually been kind of looking at options for the last 2 years of things that we can do. And adoption was looking to be very appealing to us, but then we've kind of been looking more towards the surrogate because I think we've kind of talked to a couple of adoption agencies, and the way the economy is right now, it's actually really kind of hard to adopt, you know, internationally, which is kind of what we were looking at.
Why not have your own child? I mean, you've got functioning goods. You've got the sperm,
exactly.
You've got the egg. I mean, so what is there's just my own curiosity. MRKH, what does that stand for?
It's Meyer-Rutosky-Custer-Hauser syndrome.
I've not heard of that, but I have heard of being born without a uterus and tubes.
There's not any biological issue with that. I mean, the age of the mother.
How old's mom?
My mom is 47.
Be a little rough for her, right?
It's kind of sketchy, right?
Kind of sketchy.
A little dodgy.
Little bit. I mean, it could be problematic. Was she sort of a good pregnant person? Did she go her pregnancies easily?
She did. I actually, I have a 15 and a 19-year-old brother, and I remember her being pregnant with my 15-year-old brother, mm-hmm. and she had very little problems. In fact, she loved her last trimester. She said she felt like she could go run a marathon.
Wow.
So.
And that was when she was 34, so.
Wow.
Exactly, yeah.
That's huge.
Well, I think that's wonderful. Really, okay. Right?
So
I mean, thank God you
I
live.
Mean,
think how cool it is you live in a time when there's technology to overcome that kind of an anomaly.
Technology
and,
is fantastic.
Yeah, and a mom that's up and willing for. I mean, that's incredible.
She just wants a grandchild.
Well, God bless her. She's invested in this, and she'll have to do the, as it were, legwork to help you out.
Will it be a grandchild, though?
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Good surrogate. Come on.
She's given birth, though.
Give me a break.
It's kind of like mom. Kind
of. Whoa, that's
she'll
like.
She'll be a deeply bonded grandmother. Is this one of the first times this kind of thing has been proposed? That was something that, that Jade asked me when he brought up this solution to your match game, the one that, that was the correct one.
Wow.
Whether it ever happened before. I imagine it has happened before in, somewhere in the country, right?
I'm sure. I'm pretty sure that I've read a couple articles in years past where people have done that. It's just their moms haven't been as old as mine. They've been, you know, early 40s.
Right.
That was kind of my question is, you know, how...
You know, almost in the 40s, though it is a genuine risk to mom and a real burden, what you worry about more than the risk of the pregnancy itself, you worry about the chromosomal abnormalities and whatnot of having a child.
There's got to be some sort of religious issue somewhere with this, right? Not for this person personally, but there's got to be some religion
like
out there.
Like your daughter being your sister?
I don't know.
It just means that whether it's messing with God's plan.
Yeah, something. There's got to be some religion that would be angry at that.
Go do it.
Oh, yeah, do it.
You have the unanimous endorsement of everybody in this building right now.
Good times.
Okay?
Your blessing.
It'll
all right,
great.
My dear. And check in with us. Let us know what happened, will you?
Drew.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. Bye-bye, Katie. What's up, Tyler?
So just play like devil's advocate here. What
you?
If, like,
no.
Her mom ended up, like, having an abortion? Would that be, like, murder? Or is it, like, still a woman's right to choose?
Wow,
it's
that's
technically not
that's
her
huge.
Kid?
That takes the idea concept of it, which is already kind of top showy, and brings it to the next level.
That's definitely some Law and Order SVU.
It goes at the heart of one of the philosophical issues in abortion, which is what is the obligation that a woman has to save a life if she's the only person that can save it? What is her obligation? And I think that's a conversation she ought to have before she gets pregnant.
Right.
Don't you think?
But he's talking about the court afterwards, right?
No, she would have. She'd be entitled, I bet you. Well, it's interesting.
It's interesting.
Because the mom would probably have to agree to it, too.
You know, Johnson versus Johnson.
Oh, my God.
Johnson.
Hey, Mandy, what's up?
Hi, Mandy.
Drew, what if you could solve all your problems with questions like this where, like, you just go to the next call? You're like, no, we're not going to talk about this anymore. Next call.
Well, we could talk about it.
It's
too difficult for me. No, it's not too difficult. It seems that you could solve it by having the conversation before the pregnancy, but the interesting question is, what if something happened that endangered mom's life and she wanted to choose to save her life by having an abortion? Would the biological mom have any rights there?
That comes into what I was saying, is somebody says God. Somebody is going to say some sort of God is not okay with that situation.
And that's why he puts you in that. That's what it's going to ruin the relationship between a mother and daughter.
Right, yeah, some horrible thing.
I think you straighten out as much of that as you can before you go into the heat of battle.
There you go.
Tyler, what do you think?
I just like my question.
Thank you. What's up, Mandy?
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
First of all, I just want to say I love you guys so much, and I really appreciate everything your music has done for me.
Oh, thank you.
Wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for you.
Well, thank you.
I'm sorry, I'm so nervous right now.
No need to be nervous. We're far away.
I'm trying to keep my composure.
All right.
I got out of a relationship 7 months ago. It was a long-distance relationship. It only lasted a couple months, but I got closer to him somehow than I've been in my whole life. And I haven't been able to let go of him, like the feelings, and get close to anyone else. I'm just wondering if there was any reason behind that.
How much time did you actually spend with this person? You said you broke up, you were only together it's 7 months and a couple months or so.
No, we've been broken up for 7 months.
Okay. And you were together how long?
Like 2.5.
And it was a long-distance relationship?
Yes.
So what did the relationship consist of?
The relationship consisted of mostly of phone calls, texting, picture messages, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay, so, I mean, it sounds to me, stop me if I'm wrong, Drew, a couple of things could be going on here. One, because you don't know the person very well, you're probably projecting this image of who you want them to
complete
be.
Complete fantasy.
You know, it's you're fantasizing and creating this persona for them that, you know, you couldn't actually prove is real or not because you haven't spent enough time with that person to really know them for who they actually are. And in combination with the sparks of a new relationship anyway, you know, you meet someone and there's a little bit of that done, you know, to some point because you want someone to be someone, and when you're with them for the first time, it's exciting and new and fresh. So, I mean, you combine those
full
things.
Fantasy.
You
full
created
fantasy.
A fantasy.
Yep, it's full fantasy. So you were not closer to him than if that's
right.
If you were close, you built a bigger fantasy about someone, but you weren't actually close to him. And of course, when you have somebody that is purely built on fantasy, it's hard
it's
to let
be
that
perfect.
Go. Yeah, it's perfect. It meets your every need. It's how could anything ever be like that again? Because
it
this
wasn't
was
real.
Perfect, but
yeah.
It wasn't real.
It wasn't real.
True. Okay.
And that'll go away. Just ride it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, it'll go away.
And, you know, with a real relationship or a fake one. It'll go away. No offense, but
that's
it's true.
True.
Time,
that's right.
Time.
It's true.
So do you have any tips maybe to help me get over him? Or anything, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, the tip is to just, really realize what we're saying and just kind of focus on that, you know, a lot. You couldn't possibly know who this person is in that short period of time and all the great qualities where you feel you're relating to him that closely aren't real, aren't necessarily, they're just not real.
Right, and so a good way to combat that is to re-entrench yourself in what is real.
Reality.
Start hanging out with friends, start dating real people.
Hang out with people who are actually there, not online, not trading pictures.
Yeah,
even knowing all that's not going to help you feel any better about the situation.
Well, it can help you move forward anyway.
Yeah.
It may not change the feelings, but it helps you kind of do the things that are necessary to get over.
Knowing is half the battle, is what they said on that cartoon I never watched.
Brad, what's going on?
Davey, how's it going?
I'm well. Thank you, Brad. I'm drinking something that tastes like antifreeze.
I don't know if you remember me, man, but I was Adam's roommate back at Santa Cruz when he was there.
I can't say I do remember you, but how are you?
Brad.
Nice to meet you again, Brad.
I actually just wanted to give you guys props for coming from where you guys did. And
thanks, man.
I used to go see you with Adam when you guys played at Gilman Street up there in Berkeley.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you guys have come a long way.
You remember Captain Swing?
I'm sorry?
You remember when Adam was in Captain Swing?
No.
Okay. Well, he was in Santa Cruz for a bit. He was in a band in Santa Cruz when he lived with you called Captain Swing. They were kind of a jawbreaker-sounding band. But thank you. Thanks, Brad.
And I just wanted to see if you could put me in touch with him. I haven't talked to him probably since I left there after 2 years.
Isn't this what Facebook's for and MySpace?
His phone number is
555.
Have him. How about you? Can he write in at afireinside.net?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So Brad, fireinside.net.
Yeah.
The website. Write in.
Yeah.
Adam will check it, and he will find his way back to you.
Yeah, for sure.
More Jade and Davey questions. Soleil, speaking of Soleil.
Hey, are you the Soleil, Soleil?
Yeah.
The one and only?
You got through.
Yeah.
Are you named after Soleil Moonfry?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Are you named after the French circus?
I don't know, maybe.
Are you named after the Roi Soleil?
are you named after the flaming sphere of gas?
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
That's
go
beautiful.
On. What's going on?
Okay. I just wanted to say hi. And first of all, I want to say you guys are really awesome. And I want to give a shout-out to Lily and Avalon.
Thank you.
They're awesome.
Lily was on earlier, shouting you out.
Yeah. And then I also want to say hi to the DF and everyone in the chat room right now.
So do we. What's up, DF?
Okay.
Hey, chat room.
Anyway, my question is about the whole cult of celebrities thing you guys were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
There's this German band called Tokyo Hotel, and I think Jade knows them, like, because you did a remix for them.
Yeah, I don't know them personally.
Well, I mean, you know of them, right?
Yes, certainly.
yeah, but they're, like, extremely popular in Europe, and most of their fans are, like, really young girls, and they're pretty much like the Jonas Brothers of Europe, except their music is a lot better.
Jonas Brothers of Europe would have been a way better name.
Yeah. They've got a bunch of really obsessed fans, and they, like, camp outside their studio. And I was just wondering, like, stuff like that, like stalking, do you think that's just, like, a new thing? Or is it, like, stuff that will, like, fade away soon?
Look at Beatlemania. That's,
yeah, Beatlemania.
It's been around forever.
It's been around a while.
However, it is now facilitated and made easier than ever before.
With things like Twitter and
MySpace and Facebook and, you know, mass communication.
Are you guys having more trouble because of that?
Yeah, it's awful.
So social networking should be called stalker networks.
Yeah. Makes it easier. Yeah. No, it's been around. It's just, it was just harder before.
To find you and to contact you.
You said that in your book.
Yeah, yeah.
It
no,
like you ridiculous. Made the Beatles, you made the Beatles reference. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a lot harder to stalk the Beatles.
It was, yeah. It was a,
more challenging, which probably make it more fun, right?
It was easier to create a fantasy. There was a intentional barrier to getting
huge
at them.
Huge
now divide. Now part of being involved in public personas, you have to get
public eye. Well, also, I mean, like, you know, with technology the way it is, we've experienced before, and I can't imagine having, you know, an actual true celebrity. I mean, comparatively, we, you know, not many people know who we are, but even with people knowing who we are, you can be in public situations where all of a sudden you see one person see you, and because they get on their cell phone, you can see them start coming to the same place,
oh,
you know,
wow.
Like swarming in, you know, they get on their cell phones, they take pictures.
Davey's worried about that, Drew. Davey's worried about him being stalked with the new technology.
No, it is. It's happening to him.
Luckily, most of our fans are pretty cool. You know, like, there's some people outside right now of the studio, and they're totally cool. And, you know, we walked up, they just, you know, talked to us.
The one guy was kicking a puppy out there last time.
You just never know.
Well, you know,
you just don't know.
He would be kicking that puppy.
And Anderson, it's not just me. It's everybody and anybody. You don't even have to have any form of celebrity where if someone can obsess over you, if you see someone, you can find them. You, yourself, you know, can find anybody you want.
When I was a kid, I was, like, a huge Duran Duran fan. That's all I cared about.
You know what?
I would collect all of their records and their magazines that they're in, but that was it. I mean, if there was the internet, I wouldn't be able to sleep.
Right,
so
exactly.
Nonstop.
You picked him as a Duran Duran fan, didn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I knew that.
We are so tight right now. You know, I met Simon Le Bon recently.
I got to meet him on the show a couple
times.
How
awesome is he?
He tried to take my girlfriend home, so I didn't think he was that awesome.
He's a great guy. Okay. Can you blame him?
He's a fun guy, but he tried to take my girlfriend
home. He smells great. Mm-hmm.
We still working on Drew, working on the next record?
What?
He's still working on that?
Drew's going to sing on the
Black Audio record. Black Audio
record.
What's up, Michelle?
Hi. Hey. I have a question regarding my son. Me and my husband, we are separated. And I took my son and my daughter over to his house so he could watch them. And my son saw his dad out in the backyard with his sister doing something. And my sister-in-law's girlfriend was trying to stop him, and so he knew that there's something going on suspicious. And so his dad told him to get back inside. He got inside, and he smelled something weird on them. And later that day, he found his dad's pipe in like a kind of drawer next to the couch. And he told me about it the next day, and he wanted to know what it was. And
what is your question? How old is the child?
He's going to be 13.
Okay.
In a couple months.
You tell him the truth.
But I feel like, you know, he's at a critical age right now.
Well, then you can just not answer it. You have two choices. Do not lie, because you lie, your child will really be upset about that. It's never good to lie to kids. But you can certainly say, you know, I don't feel comfortable answering that right now, and not all questions need to be answered. One day I'll tell you. Or what I think you ought to consider doing is talking about the addiction that his dad has.
Right.
And start pointing out the consequences and how problematic it is and how you can inherit that addictive potential and how much you'd hate to see him go down that path, and really use it as an opportunity to talk about it realistically.
Mm-hmm.
And set down some real stringent guidelines. You know, kids, on one hand, kids have a tendency to pick up where you left off. So in telling them it's, you know, hey, dude, this is okay, just smoke pot. Believe me, they'll pick it up.
Your son's 13?
He's going to be 13, but he thinks it could be tobacco.
You do feel that this is his first exposure to marijuana?
Yes, he's very naive.
Good. I you know, it sounds like you may just want to not answer it at this time and then begin educating him about addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, certainly. I mean, but Drew, don't you think it's more likely than not that very soon he's going to be exposed to it by someone other than his mother?
Oh, for sure.
I mean,
for sure. But there is a logic to not answering the question about the dad.
Yeah, especially if it's his dad and she tells him about this mysterious substance that the dad was engaging in. He's going to want to know what that is.
Should I make his dad tell him what it was? Should I force the dad to tell him?
No, because it sounds like dad's going to minimize it and talk about it as no big deal.
Yeah.
And it is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It is a big deal, and again, you need to couch it in understanding of consequences and addiction, because that's why it's having an impact on your child. Is because your husband is addicted, and addiction has consequences on relationships, on other people, on legal status, on his health. And here we are; somebody else is being affected by it.
Do you think I should really just be truthful and tell him that this is what?
I am not telling you what to do. I am not. We each have a different opinion here. I do think you have two choices, though. One is to say, we'll talk about these things later and educate him about addiction, or to engage in it right now and really get into it deeply.
Okay.
But, you know, it's going to be tough because your husband doesn't identify it as an addiction. Marijuana, just so you know, is one of the most common and difficult addictions we treat today. It is exceedingly addictive for some people. Not everybody. And God willing, maybe your son won't get that genetic potential. It's not as though just because he's the child of your husband, necessarily he has the potential for addiction. It's about 50%. But for those people that do have the sort of euphoric response to cannabis, it is a very powerful addiction.
Yeah, his dad's been doing it since, like, basically elementary school.
Yeah, of course. And it will you know, eventually it will stop working for him. He'll smoke a lot more, and then he'll still stop working. That's when he'll switch to something else. Well, sounds like he has been on other things before.
The reason why we left is because he started to turn very mean.
Yeah. Well,
that's very mean.
That's the cannabis depression. They get this real depressive syndrome, and no matter how much they smoke, they never get high again. They get more paranoid, more irritable, have more difficulty completing tasks, and it's a tough syndrome. 1-800-LOVE-191, Davey Havoc, Jade Pugic, they are AFI, they are audio, whoops, I want to call you Audio Slave, Black Audio, I beg your pardon.
We are Audio Slave as well. Now hey, we're guys. Audio Slave. Sorry, Tom.
This is a little sampling of what the Drew singing off.
Don't do it.
Techno,
yeah, don't
like,
do it.
Like, yeah. Going off the break. We'll be right back.
Well, as I mentioned, Davey Havoc, Jade Pugic, they are from Ukiah, California.
I heard you guys were talking trash about Ukiah.
No, we were saying that Nick 13 was from Ukiah, and my thing is like, what was going on in Ukiah in the 80s? You know what I mean?
Lots of the weird stuff, and still to this day.
Oh, yeah. I don't think we were talking trash about Ukiah at all.
No, we were just in sort of like, isn't it interesting that this little town above San Francisco turned out a bunch of musicians?
I mean, we probably said that there was nothing there.
Well, we talked, yeah, probably. Talked,
I mean, there isn't anything.
You can go online and see all the people that have been arrested by the sheriff's department on a daily basis in Ukiah, and there's pictures of them, which I go there religiously, and you can really get a sense of what Ukiah is about. It's pretty wild.
The real culture, the real deep culture.
Yeah, man, that's crazy.
Yep.
Nice, excellent. Well, the phone number, I beg your pardon. Well, tomorrow night, Jamie Kennedy joins us on Loveline. It'll be at the same phone number, the usual phone number. Anderson is smiling. Tyler, thank you for good match games tonight. I think, and by the way, Jade, thank you for putting us all to shame.
That was amazing.
I love to put people to shame.
Yeah, nailing it.
And I love to be put to shame. What does that say, Drew?
We had 24 calls on tonight, Drew.
Yeah.
17 were girls, guys. Way to go.
17.
And I would on that note, to thank my girlfriend for sitting here patiently on the couch quietly the whole time.
She called in, but she couldn't get through. I saw it.
I saw it on the cell phone. Yeah. Wanted to call me out on some stuff.
Jade, good to see you again. It's been too long.
You too, Drew.
Thank you for coming. Davey, thank you for coming back so soon.
Thank you for having me again.
I plan to be in production with you guys on a new album.
Yeah, we're going to do it. Black
huge.
Audio, second record.
And when you
featuring
out,
Dr. Drew.
And when you come out again on tour for the new AFI album, please come on by.
We'd love to.
Certainly.
We'll see you in the fall.
Maybe up to San Francisco.
Yeah, I'll see you in San Francisco.
Fair enough, guys. Until then, we'll say goodnight.
Thank you.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on Loveline are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or sponsors of this station. The producer of Loveline is Ed Engel, engineered by Anderson Cowan. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One.